which is one of the most awesome things that we can do. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that you've prepared for us. Thank you for your grace, which brought salvation to us. As we go through life, there's a lot of things that bother us and annoy us. Every day, something out there seems to change, but luckily, your word and your gospel does not change. It remains true for all time. So thank you, Father, for all you do, all you've given us. Now I ask that you bless this time as we open up your word and look a little deeper into it. Guide and direct our steps and our paths. Amen. So last week we started with Galatians. That's a good place to continue. So we're going to read in chapter 1, and we're going to start at verse 11 to the end of the chapter. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. And I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things I write to you, indeed, before God, I do not lie. Afterward, I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was unknown by face to the churches in Judea which were in Christ. But they were hearing only, he who formerly persecuted us now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God in me. Paul knew this letter would not only go to the churches he had sent it to, but he knew that it would be passed to others. That was the custom of the day, and it continues. Almost 2,000 years later, we are reading a letter which was not sent to us, but it is intended that we should read it and understand it. So after his opening remarks in the first 10 verses, Paul presents the origin of where he got this gospel. It doesn't come from Jimmy, the guy the next town over, who makes his living by crafting candlesticks. Jimmy is regarded as a good man. He is raising his family well. He doesn't kick dogs in the street, and he appears to be an upstanding citizen. Nor does his gospel come from Joey, a merchant in the settlement 10 miles away. He's a prudent businessman, has raised his family well, and he is, to all appearances, a pillar of the community. No, Paul makes it clear the gospel was given him not by man. He was not taught it, but it came through what Christ has revealed to him. No human gave to Paul any ingredient of the gospel that he was preaching. The only reason Paul knew this gospel was because he received it from Jesus Christ at his conversion. And just in case you're not familiar with that, I'll read this account, Acts 26, 12 through 18. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So I said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. All right. Others have heard what he used to be. He based his life on the Jewish way of life. Part of it came from the Old Testament, and part of it came from the traditions of the leaders of the people. His conduct allowed him to rise through the ranks of the Pharisees because he painstakingly kept the law by which the leaders allowed him to persecute the church of God in order to destroy it. To see Paul's new outlook on what his life should be, we're going to read Philippians 3, 3 to 11. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh, though I might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through the faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by all means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. He used to trust in his works. Now he trusts in Jesus Christ. As an apostle, Paul was the leader, but he was always a slave or a bondservant because he did it willingly. After his conversion, he did not rely on information from friends or family. He did not go to Jerusalem to meet other apostles. If Paul's gospel message had been given him by man, he would have had to confirm with them or travel to Jerusalem where the other apostles were. Instead, he went to Arabia. But after 3 years, he then went to Jerusalem. He went to see Peter, or Cephas, and was with him for 15 days. Undoubtedly, Paul and Peter talked at length about Christ and the gospel during this time. He saw no other apostle except James, the brother of Jesus. And this shows that the title of apostle was not restricted to the 12 disciples of Jesus. There were other apostles. Leaving Jerusalem, he went to parts of Syria and Cilicia. He was unknown to these churches, but they realized he had been a former tormentor, and now yet he preaches the faith that he had attempted to destroy. And God was glorified through what Paul did. So let's continue. Paul's enemies pointed out that he was not like the other apostles. They claimed he did not do any of the traditions that the other apostles dictated. The fact that he did things differently was definitely the divine plan of God. God had revealed himself in a different way to Paul. Paul said his message and ministry came from God. He did not invent it, nor did he receive it from men. He received the gospel from Jesus Christ to convince people. Paul reminded the Galatian Christians of his past. He told them of three things. Some had happened before he wrote this letter. First, he was the persecutor. He was an unconverted Jewish rabbi. He was persecuting the church and progressing the Jewish religion. He was recognized as a spiritual leader in Israel. Paul thought that Jesus was an imposter and his message of salvation was a lie. Paul knew that God had spoken through Moses, but he did not believe that God had spoken through Jesus of Nazareth. Then something happened. Saul of Tarsus, persecutor of the church, became Paul the apostle, the preacher of the gospel. This was not a gradual change. It happened suddenly and without warning. Read about it in Acts in chapter 9 if you want to. Saul of Tarsus was on his way to Damascus to persecute the Christians. A few days later, he was in Damascus preaching to the Jews that the Christians were right. Was this change caused by the Jews, his own people? Unthinkable. The Jews were encouraging Saul in his program of persecution, and his conversion caused them embarrassment. Was Saul's change caused by the Christians? While certainly believers prayed for him, but the Christians also ran from Paul. Neither the Jews nor the church brought about the change in Paul. It came from God, and it was a spiritual miracle. The same God who saved Paul called him to be an apostle, and gave him the message of the gospel. Second thing he pointed out was that he was a believer. And he wrote that God did it. God did the work, and he brought it about by grace. Salvation is always by God's grace. Grace and called go together. For whomever God chooses in his grace, he calls through his word. The mysteries of God's sovereign will and the responsibility of man to obey are not fully revealed to us. And Paul pointed out that God brought salvation to him through Christ. God revealed Christ to Paul, and he revealed him in Paul and through Paul. The religion of the Jews had become an experience of outward rituals and practices, but faith in Christ brought about an inward experience of reality with the Lord. God saved Paul for the sake of others, and God did it for his glory. God chose Paul to preach among the Gentiles and explain the same grace that he had experienced. Paul had been a fanatical rabbi. He had all the glory a man could want, but what he was doing did not glorify God. Man was created to glorify God, and man is saved to glorify God. Bringing glory to God was a compelling motive in Paul's life and ministry. Paul was pictured himself as a persecutor, and then he pictured himself as a believer. Now he presents a third picture, right after his conversion. He became a preacher. Paul had no personal contact with the apostles right after his conversion. Logically, he should have gone to Jerusalem, introduced himself to the church, and profited from the spiritual instruction of those who were in Christ before. God, however, had other plans for Paul and directed his path. After his initial ministry in Damascus, Paul went to Arabia. He studied, he prayed, he meditated, and no doubt met with Jesus alone. The apostles in Jerusalem had received 3 years of teaching from Jesus, and Paul now had that opportunity to be taught by the Lord. Then Paul returned to Damascus and then finally visited Jerusalem. He met with Peter and James, the brother of Jesus, and then he returned home to Tarsus. The other apostles in Jerusalem were suspicious of him, and the Jews in Jerusalem were conspiring against him. His life was in danger, and he may have stayed in Tarsus as much as 7 years, and he began to evangelize. Today, some still reject the authority of Paul and try to undermine the gospel. Paul fought against the idea of the gospel plus Moses. Today, we have a false gospel in any number of religious leaders, religious books, and religious organizations. Their message usually includes man-made restrictions. They present salvation as something that happens as a combination of the gospel and something else. If you bring up the message of grace preached by Jesus, they reply, "God has given us a new revelation." When a sinner trusts God and is born again, and you read this in John 3, that person is born free. He has been redeemed, purchased by Christ, and set free. He is not in bondage to sin or to Satan. And he should not be in bondage to any religious system. As it says in John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Next week, I'll start to explore chapter 2. Paul clearly states that the gospel has set you free. And it's something I didn't write down. When I worked at ACE, there was another person there. I doubt any of you know him. And he appeared to be doing things that were religious, and I thought that was good. And you couldn't talk a lot at ACE unless you were away from the bosses. And I found out he had a few misconceptions. He didn't know if he was saved. And I found out he attended a Pentecostal church. And yes, he went on Sundays, he went on Wednesdays. Appeared to be religious in what he said. But he said he cannot be saved because his church says until you speak in tongues, you can't be saved. And then he carried it one step further. His minister told him, when you pray to God, you can only pray in Hebrew, because that's the only language that God will respond to. He says, if you pray in any other language, you are pushing yourself away from God. And to this day, I don't think he's changed his mind. I tried to talk to him. I don't think I got through. Hopefully someday somebody will get through. Other than that, he will join the people that got misled and taken down the wrong road to eternity. I hope that doesn't happen. But in a short time, we're going to break away. For the people at home, thank you for being with us. And we're going to pray for various people. Never know who. But you at home can also give praises for what God has done in your life. The people that you know that are saved. The things that God does every day to put blessings on you. You can pray for our country. Pray for missionaries, anyone who is out there spreading the word of God. Pray for young adults. Pray for service people. Pray for people with health issues. You can also pray for teens and children. You can also pray for anything that's on your mind. And if you have been saved, you know that God will hear you and God will answer you. But thank you for tuning in tonight. Thank you very much and have a good evening.